just had a conversation in the hallway with persons involved with Senate Bill 975. There are still some issues that are pending in regard to that bill, and what I've advised those folks is that they should continue working on resolution of those issues. They have a work group that's been working on this, and if need be, I will assist them in resolving those. But because there's still a gap that they think they can fill, I'm going to set it over. We'll be closing down today as far as regular settings, but we can reconvene with the permission of the Speaker and at the call of the Chair. And Senate Bill 975 will be among a handful of bills that are still pending. I've noticed that new bills coming in are not being referred to us. They're going usually to Rules, which is the process about this time of session. That is, I've seen a whole bunch of referrals to Ways and Means and to Rules, and I have not seen any new referrals to our committee.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Szanski.
Regarding a bill that I agreed to take off the floor and send back to our committee, is it coming here?
Yes, those will come here. Bills that are, there are 3374 will come back here. There are a few bills like that, and what we'll try to do is, when several are ready, group them, call us in. Not when I say several, two or three will do, but not call us in one at a time for single bills. But I expect that probably midweek next week there'll be several things that are up for us to consider, and then we'll find a good time for us to convene. If as sessions get longer, we may be pulled off the floor to convene. And but I will also try to make sure people have ahead of time whatever materials they need, so that when we come in here, we're pretty much ready to do whatever we need to do. And so Senate Bill 975 is one of those. Senate Bill 686 is another. And the relating clause on that bill is very handy. I've said that publicly several times. I don't want the proponents of, and opponents of 686 to think that that doesn't mean that the content won't be dealt with, because 685 has an appropriate relating clause to incorporate 686. So both of those are still pending, but I would anticipate that if there's a resolution of the issues that the folks have in 686, we would hold a hearing, a work session, to take the 686 material, the 685 material, and combine it into 685, and 686 will be on the siding. They're not on the agenda today. I just wanted to give you sort of a heads up about where things are. There's another bill relating to public safety, which may be used as a vehicle for several things which passed with great broad support, which the Senate hasn't had time to get to. But I'm having discussions with the Senate about their incapability to keep up with this committee's product, and we may end up going back to them and saying, here's some bills that we all supported, that they're mainly technical things. Can we just bundle them up and send them back as amendments on the Senate bill that they would quickly just agree to, because they're not controversial? What worries me is, as the session ends, a lot of these small things that were just technical fixes end up not being done because people don't seem to have the time. And so we're making that effort to try to identify a few of those. And again, non-controversial items that were satisfied and passed by a great vote, and everybody thought was a good thing to do, but it's not some major earth-shattering thing. So those may come up, and we would group them, and we'd identify the House bills that passed, 58 to nothing and that sort of thing, and say, let's try to put these in there. We're working on that. Whew. Just to give you that heads up. And let's run through what we have today and see what we're going to do. Our first item up is 3086. For possible reconsideration in work session. Council, what's the story on that?
Mr. Chairman, what this bill was presented as to the committee about 3 weeks ago, really in the midst of the busiest time, was a bill that required a person who would be entering the diversion program to enter a plea of guilty. Before entering that program, the current status of that program is that a person does not enter a plea. There were some things about this bill that were, I suppose, not noticed by myself and others, and were noticed by legislative fiscal, and that there was really a huge fiscal impact. One of the reasons being that if a person were to enter a plea of guilty, they would be entitled to counsel. Right now, simply entering the diversion program does not necessarily mean that a person would be allowed a court-appointed attorney. The fiscal on this was a lot higher than anticipated, and the committee could do one of a couple of things. The committee could send it to Ways and Means. Alternatively, this bill may not have been, how to say this, perhaps written in the tightest way possible. The committee could do nothing with it, or the committee could direct me to come up with some alternative language to effectuate that objective.
This is Representative Patridge's bill. He's on Ways and Means. Maybe he can get out a scalpel and, while over there, work out some revisions to make it palatable to the leadership financially and to the members. Representative Brzezinski, did you want to say something about this?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to say deja vu. We've been here. We've done this. We saw this with the try to reach them on marijuana, where you're trying to get people to plead up front. You're going to have attorneys. And this is, as I said in the committee, I mean, I think we got like 10,000 people a year that are going into diversion. And I'm not sure what the percentage of those that are qualifying for attorneys. But on the front end, you're probably looking at much more than just what a scalpel is going to be able to do, and sometimes we'll go on a butterfly bandage to get this to go through without having a very significant fiscal impact.
Well, what I would suggest we do is that we reconsider and just refer it to Ways and Means, where it's left on life support. But I just
lullaby doesn't sound too good.
Well, that way it's there. I mentioned, too, that, well, it has a useful relating clause, and there was something else that came up that needed patching up on this topic while session was still rolling down. It would be a useful relating topic in a committee that's still open. So I don't expect, frankly, anything to happen with it, but we usually don't send bills to Ways and Means to die, but this one we may be sending it to for a passive process of slumber.
Whatever.
Well, we'll go into work session on House Bill 3086. I'd entertain a motion first that we reconsider our vote by which we sent this to the... Do we send it out to the floor?
Correct.
To the floor.
Motion.
Representative Brzezinski moves that we reconsider our action in sending this to the floor. Is there any objection to the motion to reconsider? Seeing no objection, the motion carries. Entertain a motion to send this to Ways and Means with no recommendation. Representative Brzezinski moves that House Bill 3086 be referred to Ways and Means with no recommendation. Is there any objection? Seeing none, this bill is sent to Ways and Means with no recommendation. That concludes the work session on House Bill 3086. Next up, House Bill 2605. Counselor?
Mr. Chairman, where we are on this is, well, first, this bill imposed mandatory life imprisonment for 5 Class A felony sex offenses upon the second conviction for one of those. And something happened that really was the first time it's happened to this committee all session, which actually is pretty good, and simply the wrong content got engrossed into the bill. And it was just one of those technical mistakes. And so what the committee would need to do is to adopt to the A engrossed bill, the I believe it is the -6 amendments. I will check on that. Yes, the -6 amendments.
And the minority report would say the same.
Not necessarily.
All right.
Either way.
Well, the minority report can do whatever it wants to do. So it's a fresh shot.
Right.
All right. First, I'd entertain a motion that we reconsider the referral of 2605 to the floor. We'll go to the work session. Representative Brzezinski, do you move that we reconsider?
I'd ask the chair to get...
Representative Sinceri, do you move that... All right. Representative Sinceri moves that we reconsider the action by which we sent 2605 to the floor. Is there any objection to the reconsideration motion? Seeing none, the motion carries and 2605 is in front of us. We have... I'll ask, frankly, I could try to drag in Representative Simmons, or we could just... I want you to have a chance to do your minority report again. If I can get 4 votes just to send this out, there's still 2 left who could do a minority report. That would be a courtesy vote, or we can just wait for Representative Simmons.
Mr. Chair, based on my position, I will have to vote no.
All right.
So I apologize. I will not be able to do that.
I understand. Representative Hansen, would you give us a courtesy vote?
Depends. I don't know which of the other... two Lone Rangers are on the other minority report, and I wouldn't want to create...
I see. It was Brzezinski and Hansen, so I'd have to ask Representative Bowman if she would give us a courtesy vote. I won't put you on the spot. We will. What I'll do is I'll simply put the work session in recess and ask staff to call Representative Simmons and get him up here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
He needs to come up here and have donuts anyway.
That's right, that's right. Diozin. Oh, there are.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
I'm sure he hasn't had a change of view on this bill.
We're not talking about Representative Simmons, I don't think.
And I see Representative Morris set here, so... Well, well, he just arrived.
Well, you're running.
You look good.
We're on 2605. We'll go back into work session on 2605. Representative Simmons, this is the bill we brought back from the floor because the wrong majority report was sent out, and we have reconsideration pending, but I didn't want to, our colleagues, quite understandably, didn't want to be put on the spot as to voting contrary to their preferred positions. Counselor, what was our correct amendment to 2605?
That was the dash six amendments. And if we talk about amendments to 2605, then just for the record, that would be the incorporation of the dash sixes and the dash sevens. The dash sevens had to do with an operative date, and that was engrossed into the bill.
So your motion would be, if you wish, Representative Simmons, that we amend 2605 with the dash six and dash seven amendments and send that to the floor with a due pass.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
All right, colleagues, you've heard that motion. I believe there will be objection to that. Well, first we'll do the amendment, then we can get to the full vote. Actually, there might not be an objection to just amending it. Is there any objection to the amendment? All right, we have an objection. Let's do a roll call on the motion to amend 2605 with the dash six and dash seven amendments.
If the good chair would like to have my support on this motion, I'll be glad to if you'll take the dash seven out.
The operative date?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Well, we needed that. Please call the roll on the motion.
Representative Bowman?
No.
Representative Gianello?
Yes.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Simmons?
Aye.
Representative Sunseri?
Aye.
Vice Chair Brzezinski?
No.
Aye. Motion carries. 2605 has been amended with the dash six and dash seven amendments. Representative Simmons, do you move that 2605 be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chair.
All right, colleagues, you've heard that motion. I discern there will be objection. So, and since we've already debated this, I'll just have the clerk call the roll on the motion to send this bill to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Bowman?
No.
Representative Gianello?
Aye.
Representative Hansen? Representative Simmons?
Aye.
Representative Sunseri?
Aye.
Vice Chair Brzezinski?
No.
Chair Manning?
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 2605 is sent back to the floor with the dash six and dash seven amendments with a due pass. Do I hear notice of a minority report, possibly?
Yes, you do. Possible minority report will be filed on House
Aye.
Bill 2605.
So we have notice of a possible minority report. And that concludes the work session on House Bill 2605. I'll be the carrier, Representative Maddox. And Representative Morissette, you're here for Senate Bill 844. All right, we will go into work session on Senate Bill 844. And Representative Morissette, would you like to come forward? Good morning. Welcome to the committee. You had an amendment that you wanted to encourage us to adopt in this bill.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. What I have is labeled proposed amendments to engross House Bill 3158. Do you have this?
We do have the A3 okay. amendments in front of us.
Okay. Well, what I would like to encourage you to consider and hope that you would adopt is an opportunity to allow the proponents of the Safe School Alliance, the idea of the Safe School Alliance, to work during the interim with the school districts and the public safety coordinating councils in the various areas of the state to come up with language that we could come back to the next legislative session with to try to tighten the approach to public safety, not only in the schools but in the community, and this truly is a community event. Now, as I mentioned before, Bend Lapine School District, Superintendent Scott Mutchie has put together a program that is in place throughout Deschutes County. All of the school districts are involved in that. There are a number of components. what I would like to try to work on with the school districts, with the associations, COSA, OEA, the classified workers, and so on, along with the public safety people, see if we can come to some agreements on things that school districts should adopt, and give a list, for instance, of perhaps 10 components of the Safe School Alliance program, and ask that they adopt 3 or 4 of them. The most important, I think, would be efforts to include the students in the conversation of what is, of identifying perhaps potential violent behavior, deviant behavior. In Bend, Lapine School District, the students are involved through some discussions that it is okay to report what they consider to be potential violent behavior. And there's a natural reluctance on part of students to do this, even if they see someone with a weapon or committing a crime. They feel it's narking. And they have been able to get groups of students through discussion to become part of the team. And I think that's important, because after every incident of school shootings, students have come forward and said, gee, you know, I could have predicted that, because a lot of people knew something was wrong. So that's one example of cooperative effort within the campus, and certainly working with law enforcement. Now, there was a, Neil Bryant was before this committee not too long ago, passed a, what we call a FERPA bill that allowed the juvenile justice people and the school people to exchange information even without parental consent. That's one of the necessary components of the Safe School Alliance, and I think what Senator Courtney is talking about is part of that. There are many components, and so I would hope that by passing this and encouraging school districts to become involved, that that would give an opportunity in the next year and a half to work with them.
So is this just going to add on?
So I ask your support.
Representative Morissette, one thing I need to indicate is we're having trouble with the rest of this bill, but certainly what we could do is put your amendment into it while we then set it over and see what we can try to do to resolve the bill. But Representative Bowman, you had a...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to ask Representative Morissette if he had talked to Senator Courtney, and did he think that this was a good step in the right direction?
Well, I spoke with Senator Courtney, but not specifically. In the big picture, he thinks it's a good step. I didn't specifically with this bill, because we talked, there were several other bills we were looking at. But yes, he does feel that this is something that is within the scope of his bill.
So, well, what we could do is we could adopt this amendment for now, but I need to tell you that the ship itself can't leave port, but you could put this on the deck if you wanted to, Representative Pozanski.
The Titanic?
Probably. I'm wondering if this couldn't be the life raft, though, that allows something out under this bill. I did have a conversation with the good senator yesterday regarding a couple of bills of his and a couple of bills of mine. And I guess, I mean, this seems to really be more of the holistic approach that, that this committee's talked about, of having a group get together and make some type of assessment and evaluation of what needs to be done. And clearly that would be interim work, but it would be something that I think would be much more productive based on all the testimony we've heard on the original bill. And its intent is good, but we're not going to get there.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we do this? We've got your amendment, Representative Morissette. You've had a chance to talk to committee members and to present it here during this work session. And let's see if we can work something out. I have this one of the ones that are set over to see if we can package something. All right. Thank you, Representative Morissette.
Thank you.
And this concludes the work session of Senate Bill 844. We took care of 944 yesterday. Senate Bill 1071. We had that pending, and I'll go into work session on 1071. We had that pending while you had a chance to talk to the good senator, Representative Pozanski.
Mr. Chair, I did. And I guess I'm going to report back two things. First, there, you'll find on your desk this morning the A3s, which I believe we already had distributed to us at one point. And there's some discussions as to whether or not that in and of itself could help work through this process. I see Mark Landau is here, and I guess the other part I want to report to you is that we had a discussion regarding the A4s that this committee adopted yesterday, and I'm going to ask him to, if everything is up to speed as to what we talked about yesterday, to put on the record that if the bill goes out with the A4s as we have amended it into the existing bill, that there will be a concerted effort on the part of the Portland Police Department to implement policies to take care of the concerns that Representative Bowman and I have expressed and others discussed with this gap of between the 2-hour and the 24-hour period. It's my understanding that has been taken, that there's going to be some type of coordination to make certain that it's not like laying in wait for individuals. And if for someone that actually wasn't there when the posting took place, makes it back to their camp 5 hours later with no notice, and that they're there, that they're not going to immediately
stop. Jumping out of the bushes. You're nodding to that, Mr. Landau. That's the understanding. Is that satisfactory, Representative Brzezinski?
That's fine, as long as we have something on the record. Because I guess
you want to say that, Mr. Landau? Go ahead and give us a few sentences on this. Introduce yourself.
Good morning, committee. Mark Landau from the City of Portland. Yesterday I did speak to both the mayor's office and the Portland Police Bureau and Representative Brzezinski. We have discussed that if the A4 amendment is adopted, that we will need to look at our procedures for issuing citations, dealing with the two examples that Representative Brzezinski mentioned, and I have been given assurances from both offices that we will do so.
If you're going to be looking at your procedures anyway, do we need any bill at all?
I think for the time being, Senator Shields has brought up a concern. We're willing to address that concern if he feels that it should be done legislatively. We're comfortable with the A4, and we're willing to abide by the A4 amendment, whether it's legislatively or non-legislatively.
All right. I guess my point would be then that we were on the verge of passing this out. It sounds like that's a doable thing. This is an accommodation to the City of Portland and to Senator Shields, and if you folks can work out the rest of that, great. And since obviously some effort was put into this and we're on the verge, as an accommodation, we can send it out. If it took more than 5 more minutes, I don't know if we'd want to send it out. So maybe we better move on.
Thank you.
Council has a question.
Mr. Chairman, just thinking, if I were to be a prosecutor prosecuting one of these cases, something that I think would probably come up that I would ask for some legislative history on is, how do you know if an individual is homeless? Is it because they tell you that you're homeless? Is there, how would a person know that conclusively?
Mr. Chair, I guess from my perspective as a prosecutor, and I know that Mr. Horton's just wanting to set the record, I think the officer would have to take everything in consideration as to what they observed at that point in time on an individual case-by-case basis. I don't think you can, and I don't think we want to try to set some type of definition.
Well, in fact, if I may interrupt, homeless doesn't come up anymore. We're deleting lines 9 through 13, and we're inserting instead, you don't issue an unlawful camping citation within 200 feet or 2 hours of posting a certain notice.
Mr. Chairman, my understanding was that the A3s were being considered for, I know
we're not.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. My misunderstanding.
I was just saying that we brought them out, and I at this point, I'm not going to be making a motion to
see
that.
Okay.
Only the A4s, which have already been adopted.
Got it.
And so I would entertain a motion that we send the bill to the floor with the due pass as previously amended with the A4s, which also had the removal of the phrase trespassing or on line 5. President Simmons?
This seems to me to be a situation somewhat like Senate Bill 844, and where if policies are being looked at, and this is a problem that could be taken care of through city ordinance rather than through statute, and I would rather err on that side, instead of doing passing no bill.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to make the motion to send this to the floor.
All right, the motion is to send Senate Bill 1071 to the floor with a due pass as previously amended, including the correction on line 5 of the A4 amendments. I see that there's some dissent, so I will ask for a roll call vote on the motion.
Representative Holman?
Yes.
Representative Gianella?
No.
Representative Hanson?
Yes.
Representative Simmons?
No.
Representative Sunseri?
No.
Vice Chair Kozlowski?
Yes.
Chair Mannix?
Yes. Motion carries. Senate Bill 1071 sent to the floor with a due pass. I will be the carrier on that bill. Closes the work session on Senate Bill 1071. What about Senate Bill 482?
We took care of that yesterday.
We took care of that yesterday. Senate Bill 506. Didn't we decide that was deceased? Senate Bill 740.
Did you say 506 was deceased?
Yes.
Okay.
Not even on life support. I don't know if we noted the time of death, but...
It was yesterday sometime.
740. All right. We're going to work session until 740.
Bless you.
Council, where are we on this?
Mr. Chairman, the committee has before it the A6 and the A7 amendments. The A7 amendments are conflict amendments, and at a quick look, they seem to do the same thing as the A5s, but they're more recent. So I suppose the A7s would replace the A5s as conflict amendments. The A6 amendments, I believe, were presented by Kathy Osborne, and they are before the committee.
I'm going to ask Kathy Osborne to come forward and explain the A6 amendments. While she's coming up, Council, we also had A5s. Are we setting those aside? Well,
Mr. Chairman, as I look at the A7s, I think that they replaced the A5s. But I'll take a closer look at that.
Good morning, Ms. Osborne. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Welcome. Good morning. For the record, my name is Kathy Osborne from Juvenile Rights Project. We did request the A6 amendments. This makes a very small change. Basically, the federal law requires that kidnapping be added to the crimes that are required to be registered. The federal law, I'll note for the committee, does not require that any juveniles register in order for us to comply with the federal law. However, current Oregon law obviously requires that juveniles that are adjudicated on what are called sex crimes are required to register.
I think I can cut to the chase here. I've got your testimony looking at the bill. Your whole point is kidnapping in the second degree also by someone who's...
By somebody who's a juvenile, we believe should not have to be a registrable offense for juveniles. I handed out, the Senate asked me to look through the cases from Juvenile Rights Project, and I went back to 1990, which were examples of kidnapping in the second degree, the juveniles that were charged with kidnapping in the second degree. I know that Karen Brazeau from OYA ran the numbers yesterday. There are two juveniles currently in OYA custody, actually through the Department of Corrections. There are none that are in OYA custody through juvenile court. So the numbers of these cases are actually extremely low.
And actually, I should give you a few minutes to make your case because I understand the state police are opposed to this, and we'll be hearing from them, so I should let you make a pitch on this. Go ahead and make your pitch.
Okay. If you look through the fact patterns, kidnapping in the second degree is something that happens, as I said, very infrequently for juveniles, and out of the six that our office has handled since 1990, actually, only two of those juveniles were finally adjudicated on kidnapping in the second degree. But there's two cases that I actually handled that I'd like to bring your attention to. Both of these were young men who believed that they were fathers of babies and received word that perhaps the baby was not being taken care of. They went to the mother's house, and both of them found that the conditions they felt the baby was unsafe. They took the baby from the household and were charged with kidnapping in the second degree. Neither of these young men were the legal fathers of these babies, although one of them did believe he was the legal father because he was on the birth certificate. Both of these young men were charged, as I said, with kidnapping in the second degree. One of them, we were able to get the charges dismissed after a blood test came back showing that he was the father. There's a defense to kidnapping in the second degree if a parent does it, and in fact, that's one of the reasons why there is the exception for parents and for kidnapping in the second degree, even for adults. The other young man, even though the blood test came back that he was the father, the district attorney still wanted to proceed to trial because he was not the legal father at the time of the actual incident. That young man was not found within the jurisdiction of the court on kidnapping in the second degree. However, if either of those young men were found to be not the legal father, not the biological father of these children, both of those young men, I think, would have faced kidnapping in the second degree charges, and both of those young men would have had significant problems in that trial. Certainly, we would have tried a choice of evils defense because they were acting in what they felt was the best interest of a minor infant. But the situation, it was amazing to me because both of these cases came very quickly
and
together.
Again, the timeout question is, when you look at kidnapping in the second degree, it does not, on its face, involve sex offenses whatsoever.
It's not involved.
We're talking about a sex offender registry, and your point is, unless there was, if there was a sex crime involved, the person will probably be charged and convicted of that. Why are we including juveniles who committed kidnapping in the second degree when there's no sexual element and putting them in a sex offender registry? That's your position.
And the requirement for kidnapping to be added as a registrable offense by the federal law is because the law is a law designed towards sex offenses and violence against minors. So that's why kidnapping is added. And that's why I'm not asking for kidnapping in the first degree for juveniles adjudicated on that not to be a registrable offense, because that would be kidnapping for the purpose of torture, for the purpose of ransom. Kidnapping in the second degree can be merely moving a person from one place to another against their will. And it doesn't have to be for the purpose of for torture or ransom. It can be a fairly minor point. I didn't copy for the committee, but I will note that I have a copy of the 21 Ways to Ruin Your Life, which was written by the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office about Measure 11. Kidnapping in the second degree is a Measure 11 offense, and what Multnomah County District Attorneys write for kids as to explaining what kidnapping in the second degree is you hear that someone is messing with your friend, you go to their house and force them outside to beat them up, you go to prison for 5 years, 10 months. Because kidnapping in the second degree is a Measure 11 offense, a 15-year-old or older would have to register if they got convicted of kidnapping in the second degree. So what we're talking about is 12 to 14-year-olds adjudicated in juvenile court on a kidnapping in the second degree.
Okay. All right, and I'm going to call up representatives of the state police for their counterpoint, and then I'll probably ask Karen Brazeau to be put on the spot as to the Oregon Youth Authority. Gentlemen, come on up. Thank you.
Chair Mannix, committee members, for the record, my name is Kent Zwicker. I'm a sergeant with the Oregon State Police Criminal Division, and I supervise our sex offender registration program. Regarding this particular amendment, we've worked for several months with our criminal justice partners, DAs, chiefs, sheriffs, youth authority, corrections, quite a list of folks that we came to through a lot of pushing and shoving, a pretty narrow path where we're all in agreement on this bill as stands. And therefore do not support these amendments. This issue did come up on the Senate side, and there was no changes made. We also were in a work group.
I'm going to ask you to cut to the chase here. To be blunt about it, I don't care whether or not people felt good or bad about it. I'd like to know the merits of the issue as to why this should be in the registry or not.
Okay. Mr. Chair, as part of the federal mandate was to require the kidnapping offenses, it, as Ms. Osborne said, does not necessarily include juveniles. We checked from the law enforcement data system data, and it doesn't differentiate between kidnap one and two. The total numbers over the last 10-year period was 26 offenders. And so we don't know how many of those would be kidnap two and what those cases involve. It is our opinion, however, that kidnap second degree is a very serious crime.
Well, we agree with that, I'm sure. But would removal of this from the registry endanger our capability to get on the federal government pork list?
No, it would not, Mr. Chair.
All right. And as a matter of policy, there's 26 kidnap one or two offenses in the register, in the system that you can identify. You can't differentiate one between one and the other. You would acknowledge that kidnapping in second degree on its face does not necessarily, does not constitute a sex crime. There may have been a sex crime involved as a as part of the process, but that on its face is not a sex crime?
Correct, Mr. Chair. It's not a sex crime.
Any other pitch you'd like to make on this?
Mr. Chair, it's the same concept of kidnap one, that the federal mandate, and I believe their intent was to get in the crimes against children. And what we did on the Senate side was exclude the kidnap two by a parent. So.
But you also heard the point that kidnapping in the second degree is a Measure 11 offense. So if you're 15 or over, you're going to be an adult. So being within the jurisdiction of the juvenile court necessarily means we're talking about people 14 years of age and under. And are we really desperate to include them in this Internet listing?
Mr. Chair, it's a matter of where we have come to with our partners, and this came up close to literally in the last minute, and we've not had an opportunity to come to consensus with our partners.
I understand. We have our own partners over here, so we get to make our own consensus decisions. Representative Pazanski.
Mr. Chair, I've been looking at this and struggling as to where I'm going to go on this bill. And I guess now everything's resolved itself. I cannot support the bill right now without that amendment in there. My concern is, I think there's a broader concern in 2 years. I won't be here, but I hope the institutional memory will have a reflection as to where we're going, because we're going to put stuff out on the Internet, and I believe people have the right to getting information. We need to do it as efficiently as we can. But I also think that we're going to potentially, based on some of the bills that I've seen come through here, some of the emotions that run on some of these issues, we're potentially going to have people at risk because they have been convicted, they've served their time, and now everyone's going to know where they live because they're going to be able to check on the Internet to the point of where someone may actually get retribution, I'll use that term, as compared to something probably a little more egregious. But I'm willing to take that risk today to get this bill out, but I'm not willing to take that risk today to have 12, 13, and 14-year-olds register for the rest of their life because they told their friend who they're, pissed off at the time, let's go outside and I'm going to take care of this matter. I just can't go there.
Okay. Gentlemen, any further remarks from you?
Mr. Chair, thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to call up a representative from the Oregon Youth Authority and put you on the spot. And we are asking you to give us your opinion on this, Ms. Brazeau. Would you rather not be called up? All right, here's what I'm thinking about, a little sidebar conversation. Two things. I'm real comfortable with the idea of adopting this amendment. I don't think that it's necessary to go as far as the bill goes, and I appreciate the hard work done by the work group. We always respect that. Secondly, I suggest that we put in a sunset date of July 1, 2002, which is 3 years from now, which requires that this whole issue be revisited at the next session. So that we don't just say, here, we're going to do this without coming back to take another look at it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bowman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say I agree with that. I spent a lot of time talking to the proponents of this particular bill, and that's not the only area kidnapped, too. There are other areas that do not constitute sex crimes that are included. And I had the same concerns that were expressed by the Juvenile Rights Project. So I will, on faith, I will support this with the amendment that Kathy Osborne gave us, the -6 amendment. But I want to spend some time on the interim trying to figure out how we track who we need to track, but make sure that we eliminate people who are getting caught up in this web, because I don't think that's our intent long term.
Well, first then, I'd entertain a motion that we adopt the A6 amendments.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Bowman moves adoption of the A6 amendments. Further discussion on that? Any objection? Seeing none, the A6 amendments are adopted. Next, I'd entertain a motion that we adopt the A7 conflict amendments.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
President Bowman moves adoption of the A7 amendments. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? The A7 amendments are adopted without objection. I would then request unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow the adoption of a conceptual amendment. Is there any objection to suspension of the rules? There is no objection. The rules are suspended. We may adopt a conceptual amendment. I would entertain a motion that we conceptually amend this bill to include a sunset date of July 1, 2002 on this legislation.
So moved.
I will have Representative Bowman move the sunset date as a conceptual amendment. Is there discussion on that? Seeing no discussion, is there any objection to adoption of that amendment? Seeing no objection, the conceptual amendment establishing a sunset date of July 1, 2002 is adopted. We now have the bill in front of us with those three amendments. Is there a motion on the bill? Representative Pazansky?
Mr. Chair, I'd move the bill to the floor with the due pass recommendation as amended by this committee.
Representative Pazansky moves that the bill be sent to the floor with the due pass as amended. Discussion on the motion. I'll pause for a moment, and I'll note that we had a group that just arrived. Are you all a group of students from a particular school?
Oh.
Yes.
Welcome to the committee. Do we have a requirement for a subsequent referral to Ways and Means?
Mr. Chair, that's, well, I was thinking about the dollar amount because we're
I think it's incorporated in the state police budget. Yes. This has been incorporated in the budget from the state police, so we'd have to rescind the referral to Ways and Means.
Okay. Let's move. If I could first do that, I would.
So we'll withdraw the motion to send to the floor with a due pass with no objection. And Representative Pazansky moves to rescind the referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Yes, sir. So moved.
Is there any objection to that motion? The motion is carried. The referral to Ways and Means is rescinded. Representative Pazansky, do you want to remake your motion to send to the floor with a due pass as amended?
Yes, sir. So moved.
All right, colleagues, you've heard that motion. I'd like to mention to you, for the benefit of the young folks from Beaverton, that we've been working since just after 8 this morning. We usually meet for about an hour and a half and deal with a number of bills. This is actually the last bill we're working on this morning, so you sort of came in at the end of the movie today. We're stopping at 9 this morning because there's a session, I believe, set for 9 o'clock. And so we're sorry we don't get to give you a lot of fireworks, but this is actually a real big bill that we've been working on for a while, and this is the wrap-up on it. Colleagues, we have the motion in front of us to send this bill to the floor with a due pass as amended. Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, the motion is carried. Senate Bill 740 is sent to the floor with a due pass. I will assign myself as carrier on this one. And is there any further business to come before the committee? The committee is adjourned. Thank you all.